Week 3, Day 1. Today's scripture is Genesis 37 and 38. Chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flocks at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." And so he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They've gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." When Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Then they took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone. And I, where shall I go?" And they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it back to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether this is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "This is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for many, many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son's mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Chapter 38. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went into her, and she conceived and bore a son. And he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. Judah was in Chizeb when she bore them. When Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go in to your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he went into his brother's wife, he would waste the semen on the ground, so as not to give an offspring to his brother. And what he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house till Shelah, my son, grows up." For he feared that he would die like his brothers. So Tamar went and remained in her father's house. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and sat at the entrance to Enim, which is in the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come into you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" He answered, "I will send you a young goat from the flock." And she said, "If you give me a pledge until you send it." He said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. When Judah sent a young goat by his friend the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the man of the place, "Where is the colt prostitute who was at Enim at the roadside?" And they said, "No colt prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also, the men of the place said, "No colt prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent a young goat, and you did not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality." And Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "By the man whom these belong, I am pregnant," she said. "Please identify whose these are, the signet and the cord and the staff." Then Judah identified them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Shelah." And he did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out his hand, and the midwife took and tied the scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." Therefore, his name was called Perez. Afterward, his brother came out with the scarlet on his hand, and he was called Zerah. 17 and Clueless by Nick Loudon. I've been married for 7 years at the time of writing. My wife and I met when we were 16 and 17, and there was an instant spark. It didn't exactly catch a flame. After convincing her to date me, it took about a month to realize that I was not going to cut it. She broke it off, and that stirred up in me this classic, "you want what you can't have" type feeling. I stayed in that feeling for 4 years. As a 17-year-old kid, I was convinced that Brittany was my future wife, and no one could tell me otherwise. And as a desperate teenager might, I told her she was it for me, which shockingly did not help my case. It is so easy to get caught up in our dreams, or even just the idea of them. Maybe it's something big, you know, who you'll marry, what kind of career you'll have, or how you'll impact the world for God. Or maybe it's something smaller, paying off debt, or taking a trip to Hawaii, or buying a home. Or maybe you're like me. When something big lands in your heart, you want to tell everyone how amazing that thing is and how happy they should be for you. And here's the kicker. Many of those things that we want, they're good things. You know, they're good dreams, good goals. And it's just so easy to put the cart before the horse when we have something good in our heart. Joseph had a dream. Awesome. Something we can all relate to. His dream came from God. It was a promise of future authority, influence, and leadership. And Joseph, full of excitement, told his brothers. Probably not the best move, given that the dream was about ruling over them. But this was a mountaintop moment for him. Something big and holy. Joseph goes all the way from that glorious mountaintop, nearly down into the pit. He's betrayed, sold into slavery, and left completely broken. Just imagine being in that spot. And this is not how we expect God's calling to unfold in our lives. But that is the heart of Joseph's story, that God meant it for good. The rejection, the pain, and the pit, none of it ended up being wasted. And the 17-year-old me that was not ready to get married, you know, I was arrogant, foolish, prideful, and angry, all of which I was blind to. And those 4 years of questioning and frustration brought all that sin to the surface. And God got a hold of me and he cleaned me up, and he still is. And what do you know? You know, at 23, Brittany and I are at the altar together. But the point is that I needed that pain in order to get to that place. As hard as it might be to accept, we need the pain in our lives. Even when our dreams seem delayed, twisted, or broken, God is still working. As long as we keep pursuing him, our struggle is meant for good. Question one, how do you typically respond when your plans fall apart or get delayed? Question two, which painful season can you look back on and now see how God used it for good? Question three, what part of your life are you still holding on to, unwilling to trust God's timing over your own? Daily prayer. Lord, thank you for giving me good goals and dreams. I know your ways are higher than mine, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Help me to filter all my dreams and goals through you.